from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour. Good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast. So, of the teams that made the playoffs last year, always dicey trying to get back, man. The NFL, more than any other sport, whoever made the postseason the year before can't get too comfy, Seth, because it feels like there's, as we know here, firsthand, there's a lot of turnover when it comes to teams making the playoffs a couple years in a row, right?
Yeah.
So Bill Barnwell did a piece on ESPN.com. I didn't read the entire thing because to do that with a Barnwell piece, I would not be here today. I'd have to take a day off. I'd have to take a vacation day to read the whole thing. But he has the 14 postseason teams from last year, and he kind of ranks them in order of their likelihood of making the playoffs in 2024. And the obvious ones are at the top. And he does summarize like why he ranks the teams where they do. Kansas City is obviously number one. They're number one at everything right now. Their odds of making the postseason next year are nearly 90%, according to the computers. Why they're number one? They're still the Chiefs. He's got the Niners at 2, Ravens at 3. This all matches up, I think. The Lions at 4 in a somewhat weak NFC. I feel like the Lions being the most likely team to get back to the postseason, even in that division, sounds about right. Packers at 5. Okay, this is about where I'd expect to see the Texans, maybe, right in this range. Bills, 6. There they are, the Houston Texans at 7, with a 65% chance to make the playoffs, according to the computers. Why are they down there at 7? Bill Barnwell's reason. Have you seen the AFC?
Yeah. Have you seen the AFC quarterbacks?
Right.
Have you just seen it's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal out there.
Yep.
It's one thing Aaron Rodgers is about to learn.
Yeah.
That the AFC is not, look, we're not your old NFC North where
no.
You can beat up on some haggards here and the NFC, just the bunch of slacker QBs they have out there.
Right. Yeah. He was supposed to learn this last year, but he only lasted 4 snaps.
But yeah, he quit.
He quit.
Just because his Achilles tendon was torn.
That's right. That's right. That's so weird. We're talking about him. He's on the TV in here right now.
Obviously he didn't quit.
Right.
But, that's still a big unknown with Aaron Rodgers, is that he's coming back from an Achilles tendon tear. And many more people have done it than they used to, but he's also old.
Yes.
So that's, I'm having a hard time seeing some of the rosy projections for like over-unders on Aaron Rodgers and just various things.
Like yardage and things like that?
Yeah. Wins. Like, I think over-under for one for passing touchdowns I saw was 30 for him.
Wow.
And I think he's only had more than 30 touchdowns maybe once in the last 5 years.
Okay.
It's, so, yeah, I man, it's still an Achilles tendon at an advanced age. So I'm curious about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah. The some of the reasons Barnwell has in here, and look, the Texans being seventh among the last year's playoff teams to get back into the playoffs is certainly a way better place than we all thought they would be a year ago. You know, a year ago, I don't know how many people thought they would even make the playoffs in 2023. Some of the reasons, though, in here, I don't know, man. He says the Texans have a lot to be excited about with C.J. Stroud, who was phenomenal as a rookie, mentions Will Anderson, mentions the additions they made with Stephon Diggs, offensively in particular. Of course, and this is a fair point, you could have said the same thing about the Jags 12 months ago, whose unquestioned reign atop the division lasted about half a season. The parallels are exact. The Texans have added more to the roster this offseason than the Jags did a year ago, but the moves weren't all additive. Danielle Hunter is still an excellent pass rusher, but he's taking over for the departed Jonathan Greenard, who had 12 and a half sacks a year ago.
All right. That's okay.
Yes.
All right. Listen, Barnwell, if you're going to sit here and basically pee in my face, I can't. The guy, Barnwell this offseason, look, frankly, Barnwell has all the elements of a guy who's phoning it in at this point. Remember, he said that one of the Texans' draft needs was right tackle, and then he listed he listed Titus Howard as a guard on his depth sheet, so he's not actually paying attention.
Yeah.
But to put Danielle Hunter, like last year's version of Danielle Hunter and last year's version of Jonathan Greenard, in the same boat based on sacks, that's phoning it in. That's just not the same. It was. Now, they do lose something in Greenard. Don't get me wrong. It was a smart move for two teams that are at different stages. The Vikings are in the growth mode right now, so it made sense for them to bring Jonathan Greenard in and, you know, bank on the upside of him. But for if you wanted right now, there's not a single gambler alive who would say right now, who's more likely to give you a better season, Danielle Hunter or Jonathan Greenard? It's Danielle Hunter. It's ridiculous.
Or anybody with a working set of eyeballs who would say, who's the more dangerous edge rusher, Danielle Hunter or Jonathan? And Jonathan Greenard has squeezed everything out of the ability that he has, and he has improved as a player, and I think he'll do some good things for Minnesota, to be sure. I think if you ask Minnesota who they'd rather have, Danielle Hunter or Jonathan Greenard, even at the prices that both guys are playing at, they probably would have liked to have kept Danielle Hunter. So what's crazy about that, and we'll get into more of what Barnwell is saying about the Texans here, but about what you just said, Seth, is I'm not disputing what you said. You're 100% right. The Vikings are now in a rebuilding phase, and the Texans are now in a win-now phase. It just goes to show you how crazy this league is, that at the end of 2022, the Texans are picking second in the draft and the Vikings are 13-4 in the regular season that year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was kind of a fugazi 13-4. They won a lot of games they probably shouldn't have won, but they were still 13-4. I mean, the record's the record. And it's wild. Like, here we are less than two calendar years later, and it's like, well, of course Danielle Hunter would be a Texan. They're about to win now.
right.
And now Minnesota's rebuilding with a rookie quarterback when he gets healthy.
Well,
again,
Minnesota had been in that kind of that weird stage of mediocrity and what do we do here, because we don't really know what we have. Like, are we really going to sign Kirk Cousins to a long-term contract?
Yep.
It just, there were a lot of things that were there. Everything was up in the air, where now it feels more like not a hard reset, but an actual reset.
So Barnwell has the Lions and the Packers both ahead of the Texans in this ranking. Again, if you're just tuning in, it's the ranking of 2014 playoff teams, their likelihood of getting back to the postseason. He's got the Lions at 4, the Packers at 5, he's got the Texans at 7. And we can talk about the Bills being at 6 in a second, but he says this: unlike the Lions and Packers in our triumvirate of sexy breakout teams, the Texans were one of the league's oldest squads last year, a product of Nick Caserio choosing to construct his roster around a lot of veterans on short-term deals. That move likely accelerated Houston's improvement once it landed young difference makers like Stroud, Anderson, and Derek Stingley Jr., but it also might limit the team's ability to grow around that core.
Right. I guess I don't. Well, so I guess my question is, what does that matter for this year?
Right.
And like they're old again this year because they added veteran playmakers to the roster. So I don't. Was this an article about making the playoffs this year or the playoffs in 2026?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be.
He's phoning it in, man. Yeah. You can't take Barnwell seriously anymore.
Do you agree with...
He doesn't even know the title of his own article.
Forget about the reasons behind the sentiment. Does the ranking feel right? Like, where are you on the Texans, like, the making the playoffs like next year compared to some of these other teams that are maybe more perennial playoff teams, I guess?
Making the playoffs this year or next
this,
year?
This coming...
This well, the, year, this coming season.
2024, yeah.
Right, yeah. I feel like his ranking is about right.
Yeah.
He just phoned in the reasons for it. Yeah. I think if anything, did he mention strength of schedule?
I don't think
he
I
just
saw
talked
it.
About the AFC. I mean, strength of schedule is the biggest one,
right?
And the dicey thing about strength of schedule is it never ends up the way you forecast it in the season because some good teams end up being bad and vice versa. And I think there's a good chance that some of the teams right now that. By strength of schedule, make the Texans look like they have a really hard schedule. I think, the Bills for one come
Big
to mind.
Big one is the Bills.
I think people just are looking at the logo and the recent success more so than the actual situation in Buffalo, which is they had to let a lot of good free agents depart. And offensively, like last year, I think people are reading too much into the fact that the offense got better. Even as Stephon Diggs' production went down, and they're forgetting that the presence of Stephon Diggs still was a big driver for why the offense could get better.
That's because a good way to put it.
They decided to spread the ball around more, but defenses still had to account for Stephon Diggs, and so it ended up being a better offense. But it wasn't because it wasn't specifically because they stopped, going to Stephon Diggs because he's no good anymore or anything. It was that they were able to spread the ball around because of the presence of Stephon Diggs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I think the teams on the Texans schedule that could be worse than they were last year and thus maybe make the strength of schedule thing a little phony. Now, there may be some that are better than they were last year. Like, the Jets won 7 games, but if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy this year, maybe they're a 9 or 10-win team. I agree with you on Buffalo. I think there's a good chance that if this dysfunction continues into the season, that this could be a very mediocre Dallas Cowboys team this year. I think that's a distinct. They won 12 games last year. I think there's a distinct possibility that Dallas is an 8-9 team this year.
Really? I'm not. The one thing about Dallas is that they major in dysfunction. So I feel like the dysfunction might not be as much of a distraction. I think the offense will still be really good. And I think Mike Zimmer's going to be really good for that defense.
Yeah, you like Mike Zimmer.
As long as he can stop from going PJ Carlissimo on Micah Parsons at some point.
Yeah.
But I think Zimmer, like the reason they brought, this was the one smart thing the Cowboys did this offseason. The Cowboys have struggled versus Kyle Shanahan deep offenses. In the NFC, there's a bunch of Kyle Shanahan offenses like the Packers and the 49ers that have been their undoing at times. Whereas Mike Zimmer has been really good against Kyle Shanahan offenses. So yeah. That was a smart move. A lot of people are skeptical of Mike Zimmer because he's in his 70s, I think, by now.
That sounds right.
I watched Dick LeBeau continue to be a very good defensive coordinator on until he was almost 80 years old.
Yeah.
I'm not. And Mike Zimmer is built different than Dick LeBeau. Dick LeBeau is super laid back. Mike Zimmer is the exact opposite. But they both have personalities that I feel like age well. They can keep getting. They still know football, and it's going to be all right for
them. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Having Yiner, circling back to the Astros, having Yiner hitting the way he does as a catcher doesn't feel as awesome when your outfield is Dubon, Myers, and McCormick. Yeah, they need Tucker back. I mean, that's these outfields.
Well, yeah, like and what those guys offer at the plate,
yeah.
You know. Defensively, at least, I just checked the advanced stats. They're the second best fielding team in baseball right now. And when you talk about pitchers being in a good environment,
yeah.
You know, Kikuchi last night benefited from some really good fielding at times. It suffered from it when Chaz McCormick decided to just let a ball roll to him slowly and allowed the runner to turn a base hit into a double. But by and large, the fielding has been really good, so that offsets it a little bit, but yeah.
Someone needs to tell Chaz, like, you know, Kyle Tucker's allowed to look like he's not trying in right field because he's got an OPS of 970. You have to try all the time, Chaz. Your OPS is 550 or whatever it is.
Jog right a little bit more briskly towards that rolling ball, please.
Right. Yes. Did you see your guy? I know you did because you sent me the tweet. Your guy Springer last night. Brandy's
Springer
guy
got ejected. Okay, so Springer got hit in the foot by a pitch. Didn't get called.
Right.
Went to review, and review didn't do anything. So Springer said something to the ump as he was walking away, and the ump ejected him. And then that's where it got wild. Because the manager, I love watching the manager from the Blue Jays. I'm blanking on his name.
Forget his name. Is it Schneider?
Yeah. He's so built. Like he's just like he looks like he's ready for a bar fight 24/7.
Yeah.
He comes out, is trying to restrain Springer. Springer lost it. Like we don't see this from Springer.
No.
Springer lost it. Was just unleashing a tirade as people were holding him back towards the ump. Went down into the dugout. Said a choice word or two. The audio wasn't. I didn't grab the audio because it wasn't great for radio.
Yeah.
But he was just flipping the hell out, and it was hard to see. Just like obviously got hit in the foot. He felt. Somebody said he said he didn't feel a need to apologize because he knows he got hit in the foot. There's
it's
no.
They messed up. They got
you
it wrong.
You could see the trajectory change on 100%. The replay and everything.
Yeah. 100%.
I guess they must have just thought that it hit the ground a little bit before the foot or something.
Which at first blush, when they're making the call in the moment, is perfectly acceptable to get it wrong, you know. But when you watch it on replay and you see, like, you see it hit and it changed direction, I was very surprised they didn't change that. You know what I would like, Seth, just once? For all these people that hold somebody back from the umpire... Just let him go. Let's just see what happens. You know,
yeah, let's see what happens with some of these guys.
Yeah.
They don't feel the need to keep themselves in shape, even though they're supposed to be making razor's edge judgments in the heat and humidity.
Right.
But they decide to be, you know, just. I criticize umpires. I'll never criticize people for their weight in normal life. I would never do that. It's mean. But when it comes to doing your job, if part of your job is being fit, if you're an athlete. Or a major league freaking umpire,
mm-hmm.
Get yourself in shape. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
This is your job.
Yep.
Yeah, let one of those fat tubs go up against George Springer.
Exactly. Well, and you know what, too? Toronto's out of it now. So if Springer, if Schneider and company had just let Springer go, Springer probably does something that gets him suspended, like at least bumps up against the umpire probably because he's just so in the moment, you know?
Yeah.
And that would have saved ownership some money because Springer would have been suspended without pay. If I'm the owner of Toronto and I'm pinching pennies, and by God, I would be right now with this team because they're probably paying a lot of guys and brushing up against the luxury tax, I'd be like, man, Schneider, should have let him go. You just cost me like $10 million.
Yeah,
Springer gets suspended the rest of the year. What were you thinking?
Keep mine on the bottom line.
That's right.
The ump last night for the Astros, that dude, the built dude, that would be an interesting one. I'd like to see him up chest-to-chest against baseball players.
Yeah. Him against Yordan, who broke his scoreboard last night.
The guy last night, if you guys didn't watch the game, and I'm blanking on his name, but he's one of the more fit Major League umpires.
I watched the game, but I didn't notice him. He's pretty yoked
Blum was talking about him at one point.
Okay.
He said that...
I remember that now.
Yeah, Blum said, he'll chat with guys a lot.
Yes.
And, Blum made some kind of joke about asking him what his workout regimen was.
That's right. That's right. All right. Something that happened this weekend in the preseason with just a few players. Is this going to be a growing trend? And do we like this as fans? We'll have that for you coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.